One of the good things about this pandemic that we've just gone through is that we've taken time to watch a lot of movies that we might not otherwise have bothered to watch again. The Oscar-winning film Good Will Hunting is not only a really good movie, but it also has one of the most powerful and moving scenes that I can remember. Sean McGuire, a therapist played by Robin Williams, has been working with Will Hunting, a young math genius played by Matt Damon. Will has been sentenced to court-required therapy. And over the course of the movie, the two men develop a close relationship where both are able to push and challenge one another. In one of the final scenes together, standing in Sean's office, both reveal that they were victims of child abuse. Both had drunken fathers who stumbled up the stairs at night and used them as a punching bag. Sean said the interesting nights were when his dad wore his rings. But then standing there in this vulnerable and quiet moment with the audience wondering what's going to happen, Sean, the counselor, takes a step toward Will and says, "Hey, Will, it's not your fault." To which Will replies, "Yeah, I know." Sean takes another step and says, "Look in my eyes. It's not your fault." Will looks at him a little strangely and says, "Yeah, I know, I know." Stepping even closer, Sean says, "No, you don't. It is not your fault." They do this back and forth until the 10th time when Sean is right in front of Will's face. "It's not your fault," he says. And Will finally collapses into Sean's arms with tears and cries and a broken soul. Will Hunting, an abused child, could not hear. He was spiritually deaf. He couldn't hear the words of his friend Sean. His life history had plugged his ears with messages of guilt and shame and worthlessness, and he could not hear that it was not his fault. It was like he was deaf. And it took 10 times of hearing this same message before it broke into and sunk deep into his soul and began to bring forth healing and new life. And the men standing around Jesus were astounded and said, "He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear." In our reading today from the Gospel of Mark, we have two stories. The first is the big and familiar story of Jesus and the woman from Syrophoenicia, modern-day Lebanon. It's an interesting story because, and it's a shocking one, as I referred to earlier, because Jesus isn't very nice in this story. And many of us aren't too comfortable with that because too often the story overshadows the second one. The second story is relatively simple. A group of men bring a man to Jesus, beg him to lay his hands upon them because the man could not hear and he could not speak. So Jesus, very lovingly, takes the man aside in private, sticks his finger in his ears, and spits and touches the man's tongue. Finally, he gazes heavenward and breathes out, "Be opened," and immediately the man's ears are unplugged and his new life begins. And the people standing around Jesus were astounded and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear." Now, by itself, this story, while strange, is a relatively tame and ordinary healing story from Jesus. It's only 7 verses. But this is not a story that stands by itself. It's a story that is tacked on to the end of that first familiar story. And the two should not be taken separately. They are companion stories. And when held up together, one just might be the key that unlocks the other. In the first story, Jesus has just arrived in Gentile territory. It's like he's gone on vacation and he's entered a house in order to escape the crowds and to find some peace and quiet. He doesn't want to preach, he doesn't want to teach, he doesn't want to heal. He just wants to be left alone. But even Jesus can't keep his presence a secret, and he's discovered. A Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, a non-Jew, immediately goes after Jesus and falls at his feet. Now, we need to remember that by entering the house where Jesus is, this woman violates many boundaries. Gender boundaries, religious boundaries. Men and women were not allowed to talk in this way. Jews and Gentiles were not allowed to interact in this way. Yet here rests a woman at the feet of Jesus, risking the consequences of breaking these boundaries so that she can beg this man to remove the demon from her daughter's body. And then, here's the shocking part, out of Jesus' mouth, we hear the nasty response that makes us cringe. Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Did Jesus really say that? Not only does he say no to this woman and her daughter, but he calls her a dog. He belittles her, he humiliates her, he disgraces her. Our Jesus, gentle, meek, and mild. He says that his ministry belongs to the children of Israel, and that it would not be fair to give it to the Gentiles, the dogs. What happened to Jesus? Where's the Jesus we thought we knew? Where's the caring Jesus who removed evil spirits, stilled storms, and fed thousands of people? What happened to him? Jesus is so rude to this woman, it's almost as if he doesn't care that her daughter is sick. It's almost as if he isn't listening to what she's saying. It's almost as if Jesus is deaf. But the weary woman will not budge. I've noticed that about parents of sick and needy children. She says, "Yes, but even the dogs under the table get some crumbs." And suddenly, the whole world shifts. Suddenly, Jesus' ears were unplugged, and even his understanding of who was worthy of the kingdom of God was challenged and changed. Can you see it? Jesus heals a deaf man because Jesus was a deaf man, deaf to the cries of a desperate woman because she was different from him. He unplugs the man's ears because he knew of the healing that can come from having one's own ears open to the voices that you've shut out. The woman's daughter wasn't the only one healed that day. Jesus was, healed of his own prejudice and preference, all because someone unplugged his ears. And so he then goes around unplugging the ears of others. And that was just the beginning. Like a little snowball rolled down a side of a hill, this thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The boundaries all but evaporate to Jesus. He heals the Gentile's woman's daughter, then he cures the Gentile deaf and mute man, then he feeds 4,000 Gentile people, the people he had previously seen as dogs. Jesus' ears were opened, and the kingdom of God stretched wide. When hearing is restored, when ears are opened to the voices that have been shut out, healing happens. Will Hunting couldn't hear, but then along comes someone who would not be dismissed. Sean persists until Will's ears are unplugged and open, and he finally hears those words of pure gospel, "It's not your fault." When hearing is restored, when ears are open to the voices that have been shut out, healing happens. By coming to worship, we are having our ears open. By reading the Bible and trying to relate it to today's world, we're trying to hear the words and concerns of those who are different than us, who live, believe, and act differently than we do. Because let's be honest, if Jesus can get it wrong, Lord knows we can too. And so it requires work, and it's risky. But the risk isn't the possibility of being in conflict with one another. The risk is the possibility of being changed. And by your presence here this morning, you indicate a willingness to be changed by the gospel of Christ. The risk of the possibility of being changed, the risk of the possibility of walking away somehow different than when you walked in, perhaps with bigger ears and a bigger heart. Too often we are told messages about ourselves that seek to limit God's love for the people of the world. Sometimes we're told that God's love is too specialized and too specific, and that it could never include someone like us because of something we've done in our life or the way we treat people. But other times we view ourselves as the worthy ones who have everything all together, and thus we like to point fingers at those who need to watch out. These messages plug our ears as well. But the good news is God is constantly at work unplugging ears, enabling us to hear the voices that we've stopped listening to, or never tried listening to, or never had the chance to listen to. For some, like Will Hunting, it will be voices of long-awaited affirmation and love. Others, like for Jesus, it will be voices of disruption, challenging what you've always thought to be true. Whichever it is, what we can be sure of is that when hearing is restored, healing follows. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God's love is very, very big and very wide. Big enough for you, big enough for me, big enough for the world. And nothing from our past or our present should deafen us to this good news. The question is, can we hear it? Can you hear it? And the men standing around Jesus were astonished and said, "He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear." Amen.